It's the Bad Advice Show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good night. Welcome to the Bad Advice Show. And to my left, hailing from podcast parts unknown, put your hands together for the Georgia Zone, Sir Rome Russell, everybody.
And here I am yet again.
And to my right, hailing from podcast land you may have heard about, New Orleans' own love child, Mel, everybody.
Wow. Hey, everybody. What's good?
And I am Gordon Baker Bone, and I got an important announcement that I feel like we need to share with the podcast world. We're not like those other podcasts. we have to put that out there. Because, like, I don't know if you guys are experiencing this. When you tell someone that you have a podcast, you get this this little bit of judgment.
Oh, you get a look.
Yes, oh, yeah. Definitely a look.
You definitely get a look.
Like, it's like Smokey Mama. You know, okay.
Okay. Are you one of those people? What do you mean, yes. Those people?
Oh, I'm going to listen to it. Okay. It's like, I mean, you don't have to lie. It's okay.
It's okay.
I don't know if I said this on this podcast before or during an interview, but I don't even blame the people that actually, let me stop saying that. I do blame the people that spew nonsense through a microphone, but ultimately I blame the microphone companies. We have made it too accessible to get a microphone.
I think you need an operator's license for a microphone.
You used to have to get one for ham radio. You had to register with the FCC.
There's too many. Oh my God.
Regulations work, kids.
Oh my God. Regulations do work. And like, I don't like, I know some people are like, hey, he's talking about First Amendment. No, I'm just, it's just too much out there. They're like, I literally watched a clip of a podcast where the dudes actually shut up and listen to feminism because she explained the proper ways of how she liked to be hand manipulated. Can I say that? Is that legal?
It is indeed legal. Oh, she had them gone.
Oh, you seen the clip also?
I did see that clip.
So, Rome, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but usually you get a 15 to 60 second clip of a dude spewing whatever hotep nonsense he wants to put out through the airways with the camp. Yo, they have such a production crew. How are these niggas finding the production crews?
There's a good chance. All right, I got a couple conspiracy theories. Dick Cheney, behind the scenes, is funding most of these, and these are CIA operatives.
Oh, okay.
With the podcast.
And it
is just so discontent and distrust amongst Black people. Dick Cheney, Operation Blackbird.
Not Operation Blackbird.
Well, other thing is, not all the stuff that we're seeing on podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Some of these things that we're seeing are people who, you know, are in a podcast setup. They're recording this, but they're recording these clips for TikTok, Instagram, whatever. These aren't actual podcasts.
Yeah.
So you also have to wade through that noise, because what you've really got are people who are investing very little money into having a viral moment.
Mel, I think you're 100%. No, I know you're 100% right. And it's funny that you say wade through these waters, these clips, to get to the podcast. But I'm telling you this right now, if I had to wade through filth and alligators, I'm not going any deeper.
Big facts.
This is why we get to look.
I think the thing is, you just have to continue. Like with anything, this is something that you do because you want to do it. And you see the value in it. You see your diamond in the rough, and you have to believe in that. Part of that is everybody's not going to believe in that. And more times than not, the people that we know, the people that we encounter on the day-to-day, those aren't going to be the people who support you anyway. The people that you tell about your podcast, your uncle, They're not listening to that shit. They can talk to you on a regular day. They're not listening to you on a fucking podcast. And so that's the other thing that I think we need to keep in mind when we're doing that. Like, there's somebody listening to these motherfuckers. Oh, but
no, I look at the numbers and the demographics. Shout out to 3% of people between 19 to 25 that bumps the Bad Advice Show.
Young Warriors, hey. Young Warriors, hey to y'all.
Shout out to that click out in Tanzania that keeps us bumping every single time.
We appreciate you.
We appreciate you. We're going to have to do a live show in Tanzania.
This is one of the many reasons we don't wait until the Diaspora Wars.
Exactly. We got fans. We got fans on the continent.
We got three people in Zimbabwe who are counting on us.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out to the people out in Guyana listen to us. It's in South America, not in Africa. We know that. And we still got a few Jamaicans that still bump us. I think they just wait angrily.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The three Jamaicans that listen to us, one is in love with Mel, and two of them are trying to find me and Gordon.
And I am not unblocking you.
But yeah.
Two of them are searching for me and Gordon day and night, trying to find our address, trying to backtrack our IP address to find our physical address.
I want to say something, but I just fought the thing I wanted to say.
Continue fighting that fight, brother.
I'm not even going to do it. I want to. I'm not going to do it.
I'm just picturing a dude in a mesh fishnet tank top looking for Baker Bone. I'm sorry. Don't go. The reason I even bring this up is because I was looking at numbers. We're doing great with numbers, but like I recently told a couple people that I have a podcast, and the look that they gave me, I'll tell you the exact. You don't talk like that man, Kevin, do you? And I was like, what the fuck? And I had to run away. I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah, that's when you literally run away, because it's not a prerequisite for having a podcast. You don't have to be an asshole.
Nope, you don't.
No.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing I like about our podcast, is that the fact that we were inadvertently assholes in a funny way.
We're just train wrecks, but we don't harm anybody else.
Exactly. And I don't understand what happened out there. What's going on out there in the world?
What's going on with you? You sound muffled.
Who, me? Oh, shit. Yes. That was... Oh, man. It's this new apartmente. I've been having weird dreams. You ever go to somewhere new and start having weird dreams? And
yes.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. You got new ghosts now.
Yeah, that's true.
You started the ghost that your body acclimated to, and you was able to sleep peacefully at night. You got to get used to these new ghosts.
You got a whole new sleep paralysis demon to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find out his favorite shows, what smells he don't like.
What time you go to bed, everything.
I did make some chicken with cumin, and the dreams did...
See what I'm talking about?
You know how mad I would be if I had a ghost that just was bad at flavors.
You pissing off a sleep paralysis demon with an oregano allergy.
Mm. You got the one nigga ghost that don't like prawns. Oh. They're too big. Ugh. Boo. Boo.
What are y'all? To the audience, what do y'all think y'all sleep paralysis demon's trigger is?
Ooh. I gotta say this. I've only had sleep paralysis once, and I just started talking.
Of course you did.
Of course Gordon
talked. Was it? You remember a couple weeks ago? We were like, yeah. What are you gonna do if your career goes south? And his answer was, tell more jokes.
Exactly.
Of course. Of course. You decided to verbally harass the paralysis demon.
I couldn't move. I was like, oh, so this is how you got me? Got me like this? I need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
Oh. Only I could figure out a way to annoy a sleep paralysis.
Oh, man.
This is how you do me. This is how you get your kicks in the afterlife, fucking with niggas and they sleep.
This nigga still talking. Where is the
I terror? Know that my paralysis demon is annoying with me. But I just do annoying shit. Like, I don't even have to say anything. I'm just kind of like, I can be organically annoying. Organic. And I don't really, like, I should give a fuck about it, but I don't. Because everybody is annoying.
That is so true. I don't understand, like, why people say that they're annoying. Like, we all have something. Like, what is your thing?
Like, I feel like our obsession to, like, always be cool, to not do something annoying, to not do something cringe, just, like, let the cringe be their problem. Bitch, are you cringing? Let it go.
Ooh.
Let it go.
Oh, I like that.
Be a little cringe. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, you gotta be a little bit cringe every now and then. Embrace your not coolness sometimes.
People who are not cringe, like, at all, a little cringe. Because, like, why are you obsessed?
So true.
Like, why are you obsessed with always doing the right thing? Ew.
One of my homies asked me this question, and I thought I'll just bring it to you guys. Can y'all think of the last embarrassing moment that y'all experienced? And tell me, was it something that you did or someone around you did? And a hush falls over the crowd.
Oh, man. I had secondhand embarrassment watching somebody flirt with somebody who was not interested.
Ooh.
Mm. And they just didn't get it.
How bad was it? How bad was it?
It was
enough for Mel's soul to feel embarrassed.
Yeah, I was like, oh, none of these are land. I felt like Jamie Foxx, this is your conscience. I just tried to slide some other innuendo past that didn't quite land.
So who was the offending party? Was it a man or woman?
It was a woman.
Ooh, it was a woman that didn't
land?
It
was hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is special. That's good. That's good TV right there.
It was hard to watch.
See, this is where people need to hire me. Where I could just, like, situations like that, I could just pull out, like, a miniature bullhorn and be like, nope.
I'm thinking that he's talking about coaching. Subtle hand cues. Mm-mm. Boo. Like, I could have done that.
Yeah, this nigga is over there for the wrap it up.
Yeah. Ooh, you know what I just thought of that we could sell as a product? We could be flirting referees.
Oh, can we have striped uniforms too?
Yeah. You could any type of referee uniform you want. You could dress as a soccer ref, NFL ref, NBA ref, whatever you want to.
I want a whistle and them cards.
No, giving out yellow cards.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Why did I just picture Mel blowing a whistle and standing across the bar and waving to someone going, come here?
Because you know me.
I want to be a hockey referee. I'm going to have rollerblades on. And I'm going to just circle in the helmet. Yeah, and just circle y'all. And I'm going to put you in the penalty box.
Are you going to bust offenders in the shins with the stick?
Well, no, I ain't going to hit nobody, but I'm going to... What I'm going to do is I'm going to skate backwards around your table while y'all talking, like at the high top. And I mean, like, that's 5 minutes. You tried to put that pussy on him. He ain't want it. Come with me, man. You got to sit over here for 5 minutes.
It's rough. It's rough to watch women get curved because, like, we do not go gently into that good night.
But I
think it's because we're conditioned that everybody wants to fuck us. But the reason we're conditioned that way is because a lot of y'all be trying to fuck us. Like, it's really anomalous. It's really anomalous when somebody is just, you know, like, pass upon the pussy. It just don't happen like that.
I've seen a couple of my lady friends throw a Hail Mary pass at dick at the end of the night, and it did not go well.
The confusion. The confusion. It would be easier for you to blindfold her, tape her hands together, spin her around three times, push her down a dark hallway, and get her to solve a Rubik's Cube. Yeah. She would understand that before she understands that this nigga is saying no thanks.
You know, like in a boxing match when the fighter still wants to keep fighting, but you know it's over, and they took those on.
It's rough. It's rough.
You tell them no, the fight's over. Like, no, come on. I still got
it. It is rough.
Sir, you are out on your feet. You are out. That was 17 blows to your forehead. This fight is over.
I think the thing about men getting curved, the hard part of that is they can know you curving them, and that does not stop them. Like, niggas do not have shame.
Yeah, some niggas don't respect the curve, and that is not that's almost as bad as a nigga that responds aggressively or violently to the curve. But a nigga that don't respect the curve, he'll keep you talking to you way past when he should have stopped.
Oh yeah.
A nigga who does not respect the curve, his logic is, I'm just gonna keep trying this until one of us dies. And even then, he's going to do something. You better hope that he dies first, because he will do something weird at your funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, he'll be walking around. He's the nigga that's walking around your funeral talking about, yeah, we spent a lovely evening together not too long ago and leaving it at that. Now, your cousins and shit, like, did she fuck this lame-ass nigga before she died? Is that what?
Our history was very complicated.
I've seen a dude.
That's when I come in on the skates. I said, nope. Wasn't complicated. She said she wasn't interested. Nigga, that's 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. Sometimes the dude that doesn't respect the curb can be beneficial to a brother like myself who's been at the bar, and my partner's been there with me. And she goes, I'm here with somebody. He goes, well, let me buy you a drink. And then my partner not only gets a free drink, but she gets me a free drink as I sit there and watch him constantly get curved.
The alcoholic line into this cloud is very confusing to me.
I want so much more for you, Gordon.
What are you talking about? You've never had your partner go to the bar, get you a couple of drinks, and then bring them back, and we drink for free, and then she goes goodnight as she rides off into the night with you.
No. Gordon,
oh.
You live a wild ass life, buddy.
Wait, I can't be alone here. No,
yeah, you're alone. Mel,
are you saying that my partner goes to the bar and somebody hitting on my partner buys drinks for them?
And then they bring back.
Is there anything about me that makes you think that my partner would tell me, hey, that bitch at the bar bought us some drinks? Do you think that would happen? For real, for real?
I can see why they would be scared.
I'm just saying.
Mel ain't finna tip a hat and hold a drink up in the air as a sign, you know, as a salutation.
Because I'm gonna have so many questions. You know, I don't like everybody. Or anybody. Whatever, however you want to look at it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would, and I'm somebody who, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be amiss with, but I don't know. I'm like a fucking stray cat on the dodo. Like, it's like, there's a very specific protocol. I'm like a hippogriff. There's a very specific set of protocol you got to follow with stuff like that.
Did you say a stray cat on the dodo?
Mm-hmm.
So, Rome, can you help me?
Yeah. You've seen the dodo before, right?
The dodo bird?
The one that the dodo videos.
Bird, the dodo internet videos with the ones that break your heart but also fill you with joy because they end so well.
Like all of a sudden, like somebody finds a one-eyed cat in a tree stump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's basically me. Except like niggas find me like behind a desk with a stack of notebooks and a bunch of like, I'm in a nest of potato chip wrappers like that. They just occasionally like throw Skittles at me until I finally start following them. Get me out the corner.
Why did I picture a dude airdropping in from a chopper above with roses and chocolates to you?
But like launching them at me from a t-shirt cannon to gain my trust. Oh man.
Oh my God. Wow. This
and as far as me, Gordon.
Yes.
When the drinks get back to my table. Or actually, not even the drinks get back to my table. Just to point over the shoulder at the bar. That's all I'm gonna see. If her pointing over her shoulder at the bar, like that's him right there. Like I've told you once, please don't make him get up. I'm already up at this point.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, people.
Mm. Yeah, I'm good for you. Can't hear, nigga.
Oh yeah. Yeah, maybe I just lived a wild life. I crashed. Yeah, my ex was bad news. Crashed a couple weddings. Crashed a couple parties. Crashed a couple.
Yeah, you both were rambunctious rebels.
Yeah.
Who was your girl, Joanna Scammer?
You're not too far off. She did have a stash.
I missed her. All we did was robbery and fraud.
Oh, man. And another thing, shout out to women that still got a little bit of peach fuzz. I like that. It's not wrong with it.
Oh, no, I'm not going to say that because I think she listens to the podcast. Nothing. Never mind.
Why would you say that?
Nothing.
That is so hurtful.
If y'all out there and y'all got a little bit of peach fuzz and y'all listen to the podcast, just go ahead, lick your top lip real quick.
Leave me alone.
Shit. It is glistening.
I am going to wax it. Fuck.
What we're saying is it's not going to stop no snow. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. It does not. It does not.
I'm sick. Ugh, I'm so sick of hearing about it, dude. She got to be this. She gotta, shut up.
I mean, everybody, like, we all have our aesthetic likes.
Yeah.
And preferences. Like, and then the thing that we consider the peak, right, of whatever. But that's an image. That's not people we know. Mm-hmm. Living, breathing people in our lives, that's very different.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the reason I think why our celebrity crushes and our partners mm-hmm. don't look the same.
Okay.
Well, mine do, but I like niggas who look like Dulé Hill. Like I like niggas who look like niggas you meet in real life.
Mm-hmm. Here's a nigga you look like. That's a regular looking ass nigga.
He literally looks like somebody you bump into at the bank. There are so many Dulé Hill looking niggas in my jacket. It don't even make sense.
Ooh, okay. Mm. Yeah, I like Mia. I'm with you on that. Give me the local products. I like it. Organic.
But for the most part, like that extreme shit, most people don't go for that in real life.
That's true.
Most people ain't trying to be that in real life.
Yeah, no, you're right. Ooh. Man, we
I don't go for the extremes, but man, she listens to the podcast too. Never mind.
All right, let's gallivant on, because that's what we do around here. We gallivant this out bad advice.
Oh, wait, advice. This is our first piece of bad advice today. Tell me who you dated that looked like somebody on TV because they look like on TV.
Yeah.
Tell me if you had a girlfriend that looked like Gina for Martin.
I had a girlfriend that looked like Dashka Polanco from Orange Is the New Black.
You know what? That makes perfect sense coming
okay,
from you.
So she's very pretty and she's very fine. And I'm not taking anything away from that.
Yes.
So I want to make sure I'm saying this is not shade. Yeah. She looks like a regular person. She looks like an actual person.
Yes. That's the reason why
she looks like, and that's my point. Like, I'm not talking about people like her. Dasha is a beautiful woman. But Dasha looks like a beautiful woman that you will see in play, because I mean, it's her regular face and her, you know, that's her face and that's her, you know what I'm saying? So she still kind of fits into that looking like people that you would see. She looks like people that you would meet. She looks like a girl you would meet in New York.
Yeah.
She looks. Yeah. But Bubble like, jacket,
you know it.
Let me see. I'm trying to think of a face you would, what, like, that's another piece of bad advice. What face would be out of place in a certain job? Like, if you pull up at Burger King and Halle Berry, like, Halle Berry couldn't play the prank where she pretends to be a McDonald's drive-thru employee.
Nah, she'll shut that place down, man.
It'll be Halle Berry is so fine, it's ridiculous.
It'd be a line around the fucking corner. And I get to the front, I'm like, Halle Berry, that's you. I know you.
Halle Berry has one of the best Twitter accounts of all time.
Yeah.
Yes. Because she has fun with it. She's like, she's not, ugh, I don't think, she doesn't take herself too serious, which is very attractive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a common theme of this podcast. She'll laugh at herself. And I like that. I like that a lot. What's a piece of bad advice? Oh. I gotta say this because like Saron talked about this before too. Paying for like a first class ticket on a small flight to the middle of nowhere is the most pointless waste of money ever.
Because what even happens? You can't get service.
Nope.
Your seat is regular.
Yep.
And you probably don't necessarily have access to your bag and shit.
Nope, you really don't. So you just paid $150 extra for what? To sit at the front of the plane in the same seat?
To be a dickhead.
To be a dickhead. Southwest seats are the same all the way from the front to the back.
But status and priority, you know, all of that is just however much value we assign to it.
I just, I like waiting to the end. But they're like, does anyone mind sitting in the emergency row? And I'm like, yeah, I'll sit there. I'll take on all the responsibilities. Knowing I'm going to be asleep 2 minutes into the flight.
I'll sleep. I'll save us all.
I sit in the emergency row, but I panic easily. So I'm pulling the cord as we taxi in.
I'll sit in the emergency row, but I should also warn you, I have an anxiety disorder. So... I will help to the best of my ability. Let's talk about that scale.
Ooh, first bit of turbulence we hit, we all going out.
Do you know how many gods I will have prayed to by the time you start giving me instructions? Like, when did you learn Arabic?
This chick looking for East. What is we doing?
It removed me. Man, put your compass away. I need you to focus.
Which direction are we headed, please?
Where did you even have time to buy a prayer rug this fast? Could you?
Now, you know how they got the raft? You can pull the string on it, automatically inflates. You got a burka like that.
I'm covered. I am covered.
Head to toe, instantly.
Oh. Whew. Oh man, the airplane antics, baby. That's I tell you, it's not for me. I can't do it. Yo, I enjoy flying, but I can't do it.
I should have paid for first class the last time I took a flight. My last flight was 14 hours, and I sat on top of two very innocent Pakistani men, and I have no idea why I was in the middle, but I was in the middle, and I was sitting on top of them, and I just kept apologizing the whole time. I'm like, I'm so sorry that I am so big, and I'm like, it's okay if you call me the N-word in your head, because this is ridiculous.
Y'all ever seen?
I was like, both of y'all can give me one nigga, please.
You get one.
You get one. Because my elbows are in both of y'all chest. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that reminds me of that movie. I think it's called Coupon Queens, where this white guy is going around trying to bust a coupon ring for women, for these two women that just was saving money on products and flipping it. And this little girl was on the plane, and the mom asks, "Do you mind if my daughter could just look out the window?" And he just broke down why life is fucked up. I'm like, do you have to do that to a kid? That's the most wrong thing I've ever seen in the movie.
Have y'all seen that? No, I'm gonna have to check that out though. That sounds like that was devastating.
Speaking of checking things out, y'all need to check out Beef on Netflix.
Oh wow. Yes.
So wrong when you get it.
I'm gonna check it out. That's Ali Wong, right?
Yes. Ali Wong and Stephen Yeun?
I believe so. I'm not
feel free to correct me on my pronunciation. I want to get it right. But amazing. I mean, I feel like both of them are gonna get Emmy nominations.
As they should. It was a 10 part show. That there's certain shows that should just be a 90 minute movie, but this actually was highly artistic and just showed you how petty beef can unravel into life-changing events.
It built and built and built. We're going to talk about it. We're going to do our spoiler show on that other thing this week. Mm-hmm. But amazing. This was such a good show. I highly recommend it.
All right, before we get to that, let me ask y'all this. Have y'all ever had a beef that spiraled out of control? It started off with something small, and then it went somewhere that it did not need to go.
Yeah.
Why did you just say that? Like you just heard someone yell your docket number.
Because it was almost that way. I think I told piece of the story, but it was me and my neighbor in North Carolina. We didn't like it.
Is this the story that I said we didn't know the statute of limitations on it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So there maybe was a beef.
It went too far.
I'd have had a beef that went too far.
Okay. Does this also have a docket number?
It does not, because I don't give details on it, but I have a beef that went too far.
I try
not to go too far too often, but yeah.
I reconcile my beefs by either letting it go or going to therapy and talking it out in there. Yelling at a pillow, which is very stupid, but you know what? I'm not going to say stupid. It's very healthy in a way. That's another piece of good, bad advice. Next time you get upset, go yell at a pillow. Pretend that pillow is the person that you are upset with, but don't go full Tony Soprano and pull out a gun and shoot the pillow.
Please don't. It is illegal to discharge a firearm.
Mm-hmm. Discharging the firearm within city limits, that's your ass.
I write out my feelings.
Okay.
Even when it's an old beef, if I'm like feeling petty or whatever, I like call it what it is and address what it is. Whether it's, you know, I'm angry about something, I'm hurt about, like I dig into what the feeling is rather than chastising myself for having a feeling or just like going to the bad place, you know, letting it occupy too much space. Like I do my best to put it back in the space it belongs.
I had a beef that spiraled out of control, and I stopped the beef because I'll just say like this. It started at a basketball court. Somebody got mad, and Gordon wanted to fight that somebody. And then that person ran and didn't want to fight Gordon. And this person may or may not have drove a car at Gordon. And Gordon was so angry. Hypothetically speaking, Gordon was so angry, he thought in his mind that he can withstand getting hit by a Honda Civic. It's a two-door, so he thought it through. But this person ducked and dodged Gordon for a couple years until, I just had to let it go. Because it was only going to go to unhealthy places.
I think driving a Civic at somebody is pretty unhealthy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Nissan Altima because that's what those type of drivers do.
Zero out of 10 doctors would recommend.
Yeah, look, the reason I squashed beef, and this is all hypothetical, because his baby mother at the time was mad at him, and she sent me like a dirt email, like, if you ever want to get this nigga, this is some dirt on him that you could expose. I was like, nope, not doing it.
Yo.
Wow. If you ever want to do a slam book.
I hate people like that. I hate a scary bitch. If I cannot say something with my chest, like, okay, so if I have a beef with somebody and I'm talking to my friends about it, that's different than if I have a beef with somebody and I go to like some random person and like, yeah, so let me tell you the tea on this bitch. Like, I think that is so fucking cowardly and whack.
Yeah, that's why
I need a team, ho.
You know, this is how nice I was and how far I came from that beef, because I called him up afterwards like, listen, man, I know I don't fuck with you for good reasons. But I was like, all right, but listen, car aside, this was going on in your life. You might want to fix it, bitch. And I hung up the phone. So that was my nice way of wiping my hands clean of a beef that could have spiraled out of control. That was, yeah. I feel good about that. I think I've come full circle. No?
Full circle is right back where you were.
My fault. I totally forgot. Yes, I did a full 180. There we go.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm going to say, you just put yourself right back in front of the Civic. I like how you was figuring out the gross vehicle way. You were like, what? Fuck. 1,800 pounds? Fuck you. I'm not moving.
So, bro, that was the dumbest math I think I've ever done in my life, bro. It's only a two-door. It's only
fucking car. That ain't no sedan. You gonna hit me with a coupe? I'm a coupe-ass nigga. Newark, motherfucker.
Yo, it's something about when you get really upset and you got that beef brain going. Yeah, beef brain. That's my term.
Yeah, beef brain. I call mine the rage ape. I tried to fight a whole club one night.
Mm-mm. Oh, man.
You never tried to do that? You never tried to fight a whole club?
No.
I tried to fight an establishment.
A whole bathroom in college I tried to fight, and that was not smart.
I call mine the rage ape, and he is stupid. I first met the rage ape when I got kicked out of Upward Bound, the college prep program in ninth grade. I got kicked out for drinking.
But drinking. That's what college is, though. Oh, no, you said no. College Bound.
Yeah, College Bound. I wasn't there yet. I was 15. It was just, I had recently went to Freaknik. My mind was open. It was a turbulent time.
That school said, unbind yourself, nigga.
Yeah, exactly. And I got there and I got kicked out because this dude, he bought a gallon of Bumpy Head gin, Seagram's gin, for like 30 teenagers.
That, mm, That's trouble. That's trouble.
No mixers, no ice, just hot gin.
Hot Seagram's.
Hot Seagram's gin. And so we drank through the night, and I think I kissed a girl with a mustache, not the one that listened to the podcast.
Okay.
And I remember thinking to myself, your lip tickles. She was like,
so
what?
Adorable, I
was like,
when that happens. It's adorable when that happens.
It's adorable. She's like, what? And I was like, all right. And I walked away. And then I remember being in the bathroom at some other time singing Gangsta's Lean with a group of other niggas, like a doo-wop group around a burning trash can. And then Mr. Thomas was called. Our administrator was called, and because somebody fell off the pool table.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Mr. Thomas is standing there talking to all 30 of us. He's like, I know y'all been drinking, this, that, and the other. Can't believe y'all would do this. We like, we ain't been drinking. And then the nigga sitting beside me threw up. I was like, he had bad fish.
Saron, please go to hell.
He threw up in the middle of the talking to.
Well, I've been there before. You get yelled at. You gotta call Earl. You just like, I can't take it. I'm holding it.
The first time I came home, like, and my parents called me being hungover. They were so disgusted. They just pretended like they didn't know what was going on. It was like years. She was like, "Yeah, remember that time you came home hungover from hay?" I was like, "Oh, so you did know?" They were like, "We was tired." Nobody feel like having that argument that night.
See, like, that's good for y'all. I like when I get drunk, I don't let Janet see me. I hide like Adam in the Garden of Eden.
There, God talking to y'all on the top. Is thou drunk?
Maybe. Oh man, wait, you brought up a good topic that I wanted to ask you guys about. Did you guys both go to Freaknik?
I did not.
Saron?
Oh, I wasn't supposed to go.
He was there.
But he was there. He told you he was 15.
I was 14 when I went to Freaknik.
Oh no.
Hey man.
My boy is better than this. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this was because my uncle only like 10 years older than me. God rest his soul.
Young uncles are the worst.
The worst. They should Mama not be in charge of anybody.
Young uncles and are the worst.
Yo, my uncle taught me so much shit that year. I learned how to load a 380.
Okay.
I learned how to drive. I learned to recognize bullshit from real coke.
It was just no.
This is what young uncles do.
Oh man.
A bunch of foolishness.
And so
a fucking summer camp of debauchery.
Oh man. It was a summer of Sam. We did everything. We did crimes. It was
Alleged crimes.
I mean, he passed away, so he can't get in trouble.
Nigga, that you was... can.
that was 30 years ago.
Okay, 30 years is good. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, 30 years is good. Oh, no, yeah. I went to Freaknik. I kind of told it on Twitter, but my uncle stole my grandma's truck. And he came to the house in a rush. He was like, you want to ride? I was like, well, he said, come on, get in. And I got in. And next thing I know, we're picking up two other niggas. And we are driving to Atlanta. I was like,
I'm sorry. I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that you took a stolen hog farm truck to Freaknik?
Yeah.
You can cut this Beverly Hillbilly shit right now, player.
Wait a minute.
It was a nice truck.
He borrowed his mother's car.
What?
By statute, his uncle borrowed his grandmother's car. That's
Yeah.
They loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly. I'll be damned.
Yeah. And so, and I told y'all about the passing the bill on I-75.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to drive. I was a designated driver.
At 14.
At 14. We was just cruising on the strip, so I wasn't really going fast. All I had to do was take my foot off the brake. But it was so funny because I was a designated driver because, and this is where I learned to recognize real coke from bullshit, because the dude, one of the dudes he picked up got some bullshit and he was fucked up. And my uncle was drunk and the other nigga was trying to calm the nigga down that who had sniffed the drywall. I'm driving. I'm like, man, I really wish I was at home doing homework. This is.
Why am I picturing you driving and someone hung over with a weird nosebleed?
Oh, robbing our children of their youth.
Yo, that nigga was hanging out the truck just shouting anything because he was on some bullshit.
Young uncles are a scourge.
A scourge.
Oh, wow. Huh, Freaknik. Some would call it the Black Woodstock. God, I love these stories. These stories make me so happy. Oh, man. Wait, are they going to bring back Freaknik again, or is that's just a myth?
No,
they're having a documentary.
This is a documentary. Freaknik got out of hand.
Freaknik was dangerous.
Freaknik got dangerous for women. And that's what eventually killed it.
Okay. So there was more than one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a long-term thing. This was like, by the time I went, it had been going on since like the late 80s. I went in 94.
Oh, I did not know that.
Hmm. Yeah. It wasn't a one-time thing. Right. It ran up to like 99.
That's why you need to, before you really start arguing with people back and forth on Twitter, you need to like look at their bios, look at their locations, whatever, because you don't need to be arguing with nobody who was like conceived in a Freaknik traffic jam. Okay. Like they're coming from a different place in life. You're not gonna agree on some stuff, probably.
Not a Freaknik traffic jam. That does sound like a Hype Williams music video, though.
These kids be young. Like they're young, but they're adults, but they're young.
Yeah.
You're not gonna think life the same as these kids.
Not at all.
Their parents didn't even have, like, their parents are our generation. We don't have the same values and limitations that our parents had. We raised our kids very differently. So,
yeah, like, for example,
this is the experiment.
Saron was 14, being a designated driver with the people that just sniffed drywall, apparently, allegedly.
Most likely it was drywall and Comet, but
fuck. Okay.
And on that, and I got a 14-year-old. I don't even let him go to the park. I can't wait till he goes to his first college party. I go, and he'd be like, yeah, Dad, we hung out last night. We got drunk. And it's all like, man, when I was 14.
What happened to your voice?
I don't know who that was. I prefer the Jamaican to come back. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Oh, sorry. That was, I think that was my own, the spirit of my uncle. That's how he
sounded. Yeah. You did invoke him. All right. On that happy note, we would like to thank you guys for listening to the Bad Advice Show.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested, and I hope you are, please subscribe to our Patreon. Me and Mel are going to be doing our monthly therapy review. And also, we're also going to be reviewing some dope-ass television that y'all should catch up on. And it's a lot. And we're going to be talking about it and giving our 2 cents about it. Because just in case you guys miss some good TV, we got you back. We'll get you all caught up. So this week we're going to do Beef. And with that being said, join the Patreon, Bad Advice Show, #Bad Advice Show. anything you liked, anything you didn't like, anything you want to let us know about the show. And also, Mel, where can people find you?
You can find me all over the interwebs at The Gates of Mel. The O is a zero. You can also find me on ResistBot social media.
All right. So, Ron, where can people find you?
Up here immediately. You can find me April 14th in Leesburg, Virginia. I will be at the Tally Ho Theater headlining that. And it's going to be a great night. We are coming there courtesy of the DC Improv, and we're going to have a good time.
Tally Ho! And as for me, please check my website, bakerbone.com, for all my upcoming dates. Just to let you guys know what's happening in June, we will be, not only are we doing Drunk Black History, but we're going to do a brunch show for Juneteenth. That's right. You should have Juneteenth off, which is a Monday this year, which means that we're going to do ours June 18th at the Bell House in New York City. And it's going to be a brunch show, so you all can come out in your beautiful clothing and drink champagne with your homies, me and Brandon. And also, I'll be down at the Borgata this weekend in Atlantic City. If you don't want to pay all that money, just, you know, come on down to Bell House. It's still going to be dope. And with that being said, we'll talk to y'all next week. Tally hoes the word, and let us know if you want to go to Freaknik if you had a time machine. Peace, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Oh, Lord.